Hey guys, in chapter 9 of AB Talks, I sat with Karen Wazen. I really hope you enjoyed this interview, and to watch the video, you can just go to my YouTube channel. You want us to start strong?
However you like.
I'll start strong.
Start.
We'll set the tone.
Yeah.
What would you say to people who obviously would judge you from your social media, and they would say that you're a bimbo, or naive, or happy-go-lucky, or too perfect, or no depth? Because I'm not saying that about you. I know that you've studied psychology, and we've had nice conversations. I'm saying I know how people can jump to that quickly because they need to not diminish you, but dilute you or diet you down because you look too perfect in every aspect and content. No, something has to be wrong. She's a bimbo.
Yeah.
What would you say?
To those people, I would definitely say that they don't know me well enough. I'm not sure if that's a lack of communication from my part, but people who have followed me for a while are still following me, and that is because they have actually gotten to know me beyond my photos, beyond my videos. They probably follow me on my Insta stories where I have a side to me that's very open. I speak without makeup on. I share struggles and personal stuff about my life. But yeah, I mean, it definitely crosses my mind. And I often analyze and think, am I selling or showing something that might seem a bit unrealistic or too perfect to people? And might that be something negative on people? Because the last thing that I want is for my profile to affect people negatively. The whole point of what I do is because I want to spread positivity, because this is the kind of person that I am. Even in my surrounding, I just like people to feel comfortable and happy around me. So when I hear these things, it actually gets me a bit frustrated, and I analyze, I'm like, am I doing something wrong? What should I stop doing, or should I explain myself? And I'm sometimes afraid to explain because I feel like it's almost like I'm justifying, and I don't want to come off as someone who's justifying, which is why this is the perfect place to speak about these things. I definitely don't consider myself a bimbo. I definitely don't consider myself happy-go-lucky. I am a happy person, but that's not because I'm... God has given me a lot of blessings to be happy, but I also work very hard on being a happy person. I've been through a lot of difficult parts in my life and
that
things.
That put you in a hiccup right there. You're thinking of all the things.
No, yeah, I've been through a lot in my life, like every other, you know, person. I'm pretty sure everyone has had bumps in their lives, and I've had a few, and I've always had a natural defense mechanism not to fall into that negativity and actually to snap out of it and to try and see what's going on positively and to focus on these things.
Do you think, Karen, you're a people pleaser?
Yeah, I was. It's in my nature. I'm very sensitive to energy. So if someone around me is uneasy or not well, I feel like I need to go to that person and make sure that they're okay and okay with me. So I definitely have this in my character. My friends used to make fun of me all the time, like, who cares if this person's upset with you? And I would be thinking the whole time, did I say something wrong? Did I upset them? Obviously, I've grown a lot and learned a lot that I cannot please everyone, especially in the line of business that I'm in today.
You just can't please
everyone. Yeah, please everyone. Especially now, like initially, I had to please my family, my friends. Today, people I don't know me, and I can't like make sure that everyone is.
I think if that's a human being's aim, is to please others, they will, one, fail. Two, they'll end up being miserable because you're giving too much of yourself.
That's true.
Trying to modify and edit yourself, but who are you at the end then? You're everything? You can't be.
That's true. And the whole point, I mean, when I, before I jump into that, I want to tell you that I did my master's in psychotherapy, I saw a therapist myself for 2 years. And that experience, that growing experience and learning experience is really what shaped my understanding of myself so much. So I learned a lot about myself. And when we were talking about the happiness, I actually addressed this to my to my therapist. At that time, I was living in London, and my now husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, was living in Dubai. So we were in a long-distance relationship. And I remember once, like, I was walking to my therapist, and I was really happy. It was like a beautiful day in London, which is not very often. And I came into the room, and I told him, I'm like, you know what? I'm so happy that I'm afraid. I'm afraid that something bad's going to happen because it's impossible. People tell you that it's almost impossible to be happy all the time. So I told him, I'm like, I'm afraid, like, something bad's going to happen. And then we spoke, and by the end of the session, he made me realize just by communicating together, he made me realize that I'm happy because I'm choosing to be happy. I'm choosing to focus on the positive things in my life rather than focus on the negative things and making this a part of my life. Mm. I told him, like, my parents are divorced, and they got divorced when I was 12. So that I could have been a child who was the victim of divorced parents. Instead, I always said, like, I mean, I'm really lucky because I have two families now, not only one, and
two houses
and two, like, it's just amazing because parents, when they're together, you almost see them as one. My parents are separated, so I see them as two very separate individuals, and it's just a bigger family, really, on both sides. And even about the long distance, he was telling me, like, he made me realize that I could have been complaining about the fact that I'm in a long distance relationship. Instead, I'm choosing to look at the fact that I have someone who's so far away who likes me so much from a distance. Mm. So I put a conscious effort until today and every day to focus on what I have that's good in my life. And I think mindset.
You easily would say that you look always at the half full part of the glass, even when you know there's a half empty.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a mindset. And I think that's it's really important. You did touch on your parents. I come from a divorced family, and they are remarried. So now we look like the United Colors of Benetton, because you have an adopted brother. I have one that is quarter Scottish, quarter Egyptian, half a Marathi. So it's like, you look at us, it's so interesting. But I always used to say, I'd rather see my parents divorced and happy than together and miserable.
For sure. I'm going to say something that might shock you or shock people, but I believe in divorce so much. And my husband is very, very aware of how much I believe in divorce, because I would much rather stay, for my kids. A lot of people, you hear them say that they will stay together for the kids. For me, I will get a divorce for the kids if need
Absolutely.
Be. Because for me, staying in a relationship where I'm not happy, where I'm not seeing the best of myself, where my husband isn't seeing the best of me, is pointless. It's not a life that I would like to live. So I would much rather get a divorce and let everyone, you know, be happy in their own way. And this way, the children will believe in love. The children will believe in marriage that way. If I saw my parents fighting every day or being, you know, not being united as a couple, then I won't believe in everlasting love. I won't believe in relationships. I won't believe in the stability of a family. But I do very much now, because both of my parents are with their partners and they're both very happy. So
I think divorce was founded as a solution, as a resort. I don't like the fact that it's become a very instant gratification globe or world where everything is quick, and I'm not going to put an effort to make it work.
Yeah.
It's become that. I want to go do lipo rather than gym. I want the food to be delivered quickly. I want to date on an app. So it's very quick.
Yeah.
So, which makes the negative side of convenience is they expect relationships which need a lot of time and effort to be too convenient.
Yeah.
And that, I don't like that side. But does that mean I'll stay for the kids is one of the worst terms I would hear, because I think it's extremely selfish. If a child doesn't see that their parents are hugging or touching or holding each other's hand or
communicating,
what kind of, you think the child doesn't get affected by energy?
Yeah.
They see it. They see the vibe in the house.
This is the way I see it. I know that it's very difficult. I mean, maybe I see it that way because of the outcome of the way my family is. So I know that it's not something that scares me. I will do everything that I have to make sure that my family is so strong and is a success, because I got married forever. I did not get married for now. And I made sure when I got married that I was marrying someone that I genuinely could see the growing up with, learning from him. And this is exactly who we are today. I mean, people might look at my relationship and think that it's fake or it's too good or what you guys don't fight or whatever. Yeah, maybe I don't show me and my husband fighting on Instagram, but of course we argue, we quarrel, you know, like sisters do, like brothers do, like, you know, anyone does. Sure. But the fundamentals of our marriage are so strong and we work so hard on our relationship. Like, for me, my relationship with my husband is so important. It's as important as me being a mom. Me being a wife to me is very important. Like, I need to feel that I'm doing everything that I can and him doing everything that he can for us to make sure that it's something that's so solid.
Takes two to tango.
For sure. And my husband is extremely, like, he'll give. So,
you mentioned your parents briefly. How would you describe your relationship with your parents?
We're very close, actually. Especially I'm with my mom. My mom is like my best friend, really. Like, she's been someone who's been so constantly supportive in my life, from me being at school to me being now to getting married. Like, she's always been not only with me, even with my friends, my siblings. My mom is a very strong woman, someone I look up to so much. And I think people know that because I've mentioned it several times. She's very hardworking, has her priorities set all the time. I really don't know. Like, sometimes I feel I'm looking up to someone who's a bit too perfect in my eyes. But it's always good to know that I have a strong woman in my life.
And you mentioned they're divorced.
And they're divorced, yeah.
You think that bothered you at a young age?
I don't remember that part of my life at all, actually. This part really was like a blur. I don't even remember how I found out my parents were getting a divorce. I think my mom, I don't know, really. Like, I also feel that I have a defense mechanism, which is when something from the past is like, maybe hurt me, I just erase it.
But do you believe you erase it? Okay, since you're Miss Psychology, do you believe you erase it or you archive it in your subconscious?
Yeah, I'm sure it's somewhere. Somewhere there, yeah.
Then one way maybe for us to kind of investigate is
how really want to go deep here.
How were your relationships?
Yeah.
Your love relationships.
Yeah. I've had like maybe three relationships in my life.
That you would call serious.
So I would call that serious. I've always had long relationships. I've never had they've always been like 2 years, 3 years now.
So let's label the first two.
The first, I mean, it was high school, so I won't really.
Puppy
it was
love.
Very child. Like, it was, you know, we loved each other, but we were in high school. Like, second one was very tough, actually. I had a really, really bad relationship. My second relationship was.
What is bad?
It was bad because I wasn't me. I wasn't allowed to be me. He didn't allow me to be me. He wanted me to be who made him comfortable, who made him happy. He was a bit like. He loved me a lot, or loved me. At the time, I thought it was love, but he loved himself, I would say. And he made me change a lot of my personality. I was afraid of people because he was afraid of people. So he would rub off all his insecurities on me. So I wasn't allowed between classes in university to sit and mingle because I was going to get a questionnaire of who did you see? Why did you say hi to this? Why did you do that? How long did you stay after this? And I always felt like I was doing something wrong without doing anything. And so he was a bit of a jealous guy.
Or more, I would use the word insecure more than
he
jealous.
He was very insecure. Yeah, very, very. And I wanted to please him, going back to the people's pleaser. I wasn't strong enough to be like, hey, I'm not doing anything wrong. Let me live my life as long as I'm not doing anything wrong to you. I wasn't strong enough. I was afraid. I was afraid and I almost believed what he would tell me. So he would tell me that, let's say, I'm nothing without him. And when he breaks up with me, I'm worthless and I'm someone now because of him. He would tell me these things. And almost like I knew that I wasn't because I have a very strong family who always like.
But if it's gradual, you do end up believing.
Yeah, I did. I did believe that it was like I lost so much weight in the relationship. I wasn't well. It was like a very bad period in my life, very honestly. And I was always worried about him because also I felt like if I was going to leave. So he told me that he would tell me that if he left me, I would end up being nothing. But I knew that if I left him, he would be nothing. So I was afraid to leave him also because I knew that without me, he wasn't going to function in society. Mm. But in the end, I had to choose me. And it was very tough. But I was like,
so you think it was mentally abusive?
Yeah.
Not physically?
Physically.
Not physically.
But a bit, yeah.
Also physical. And that's telling,
yeah.
I would say, because that's why I wanted to ask you about, is it the direct relation to a divorced family?
No, I don't think it's absolute.
I don't think we can answer that, and probably
anyway,
not.
I wouldn't think it has anything to do. I just have, because now I'm with my husband, and when I met my husband and he was the way he was, I was like, what? Like, this exists? This, like, normal guy who trusts me and doesn't ask me 10,000 questions.
You're not used to it.
I wasn't used to that. I thought relationship meant, and I was always, you know, I told you I always looked at the positive. Even in that relationship, I'd always be like, yeah, but at least he doesn't cheat on me. At least he loves me. At least I'm always his priority. At least, in the end, I'm like, I don't...
We justify...
Yeah, I was just always telling myself that it wasn't that bad.
I read somewhere that women, I don't know if it applies to men, but women in abusive relationship usually need 6 attempts to finally break up. So they'd break up 5, but always go back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
we broke up many
the seventh,
times.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a buildup of courage to say, I'm going to leave, and then you build up courage to leave again, and you come back. But at 6 or 7... you actually don't come back.
I actually can't remember the exact number, but it could have been that much. It could have been.
It's very tricky. And I was watching a documentary. I won't mention the name of it, but it's about a very abusive character, very popular one. And the way you would notice, they're usually very charming, usually very charismatic.
Yeah.
And what they would do is it can start like, Karen, I don't like yellow on you. You look so much better in other colors. So you start to adjust your wardrobe. Next time it's like, I don't like this friend. I don't think you should hang out with her. But you know, it's up to you.
Yeah.
I'm playing with your head.
Yeah.
Gradually it becomes, you have no right to leave. You are nothing.
Yeah.
You are this. And suddenly you're getting bullied mentally, and you really start to get brainwashed to asking permission, to being so timid, like you're walking on eggshells. So... it's psychologically very tricky.
Yeah.
And when you talk to somebody in that, they don't see it. They're like, no, you're just hating on me. You just don't want me to be in love.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not love. No. Something is...
I didn't know that this wasn't love then. And I actually, once I spoke about it and on my Instagram, I did a video about, it was about verbal abuse. And I spoke about it. And I might have said something wrong, because I ended the video by saying... that no one should be allowed to live this life, and that you're much stronger than you think, and you should walk out. So this is how I concluded the video, because I was talking to girls that were in my situation. Some people misunderstood and were like, why are you making it seem like it's easy to walk out? Because I understand that some people are, you know, mothers and...
It's complex.
Yeah, it's very diverse. It's not just one situation. And definitely it's not easy. And definitely some people, maybe women don't work. And if they don't have their husbands there to secure them, like, financially, where are they going to go? You know? So I do understand that it's very difficult. I just hope that with my kids, or, you know, because you never know what you fall on in life. And I just always, that's why I always care so much that my kids and people that I love are able to work and able to be independent.
Absolutely.
Whether it's financially, whether it's independent to the person that you're with is an addition to your life. It's not what makes your life what it is. So that if for whatever reason you need to continue your life without that person, you can.
You have the luxury of choice.
Yeah.
Do you know how to say no?
No. I just did, actually.
Which I'll give you credit for.
It's hard. It's hard. I think it's harder for me than it is for other people. I always feel like I need to say no because, or justify why. Only because I feel like sometimes saying no might hurt the person that I'm with. And I mean, it depends. For a lot of things, I've said no and like categorical no's.
I would assume you were much worse before. Today you would use it.
Yeah. More. I always, listen, growing up as a teenager, I think my parents did a great job at raising me, because I don't think that I've done anything that I would look back and be like, I cannot believe I did that, or other than my relationship. But like, I don't think I've crossed any limits that I should have said no when I said yes because of peer pressure. No, I don't.
But what about, I mean, daily life? For me, I'm a huge advocate that there's a power to saying no.
I've actually been through a lot of situations where I felt like I had to fix or apologize for having disappointed someone, and it could have been solved so easily if initially I had just said, I'm really sorry, I can't. But I would say, like, sure, just because I don't want to upset the person, and then I don't end up doing it.
You do realize they'd be triple upset.
And then they're so upset, and I'm like, they're like, but why did you say yes? I'm like, I don't know why I said yes.
It's also, yeah,
and even in my work, which is why, thank God, I have managers sometimes, because if it's up to me, I would say yes to everyone.
We are brought up to hardly say no, by the way, in Arab societies. Inshallah, which unfortunately has become a negative term. It shouldn't be. So we don't usually like to say no.
Yeah.
Okay, bashuf, maybe, yallah. Yeah. So these, and a lot now of expats, they don't fall for the inshallah anymore.
Yeah, they're like,
no, tell me, yes or no.
Exactly.
So, okay, then something that would follow on that is, how do you deal with rejection? Because you don't like to be rejected, obviously. But what if you do get rejected? Do you shut down? Like you said, you are in denial, or you use it to drive you?
I mean, something that I recently spoke about with a friend, which I never realized, and it was just through that conversation, actually, that we brought it up, is that I usually speak about rejections after I've gotten over it, or like fixed, you know what I mean? Like, so... But I don't know if it's because I don't want to speak about it, or I don't know if it's because I don't see it as a rejection at the time.
So no, I think you do. Because if you end up speaking when you get over it, you realize very well it was a challenge.
But I always say when it happens that it shouldn't have happened. That's why. You know, it didn't happen because it wasn't the right time, or it didn't happen because of this. But then when I end up getting either that thing or something better, I'm like... See why it shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not going to give names and stuff, but I got, like, not a long time ago, I was supposed to do something with a brand, and then they said, you know, unfortunately, it's just not going to happen. And I was really hurt because I really, really wanted it. And I felt it was going to work, and they had almost given me it was going to happen. And then they said no, and I'm like, okay. So, but at the time, maybe I did get hurt, but I was like, wasn't meant to happen. You know, I didn't see it as I got rejected. I saw it as, okay, I'm sure something better is going to come up. And then something better did come up, which had I done that, I wouldn't have been able to do this thing. So I was like, see, that's why it happened.
And you're right. It's kind of law of attraction or positive mentality to move on.
But yeah, I mean, in general, I don't like rejection. I mean, I don't think anyone does, but I don't let myself fall into it.
Mm.
It's about that. I realize that I have a strong defense mechanism.
Is it a strong defense mechanism, or is it you not facing or being in denial?
Whatever it is, it protects me. Whether it's me being in denial, that's
does
a
it
form
protect
of protection.
You though?
I mean, so far, I don't think I've not analyzed. I don't think I haven't dealt with something yet. I don't know if it'll come up later in my life.
I think you could tell by seeing your mood, whether you hit depression often, or whether you're mellow or fatigued or not happy or not joyful. I think this is usually a result of people building up tension and being in denial. So if that is where, do you feel that sometimes you do get depressed or no?
No.
So you're good.
I don't get depressed. Obviously I go through times where I'm like down, but I think it's just because I'm tired. Because I have three kids. But,
okay, tell me then about Luch.
Yeah.
How's your marriage behind the scenes?
Good. I almost feel like sometimes people don't believe it because we want to believe that it's not. You know what I mean? Like when you watch a movie, you're like, yeah, it's just in the movies because it's just, you know, because it makes you feel better about yourself when you think that it's not real. Of course, we have a lot of moments that obviously I don't show on camera, and we argue, and sometimes he thinks I'm like irresponsible, and I am. And sometimes I think he like gets angry too quickly, which I feel like, why are you getting angry? Like, it doesn't matter, you know? I'm also very like verde. I'm cold as a person. I'm not like, you know, and he's different. He gets like, he would get angry quickly, but then he will get calm quickly. He'll go calm quickly. It takes me a long time to get angry, but when I do, I need a lot of comforting. But, we're very, I mean, My friends know us, they see us. We're very strong as a couple. I'm telling you, because we work on our relationship a lot.
What does work mean? I think it's a very vague...
Work as in we work, like we prioritize, we do date nights even when we're exhausted and we don't feel like going out and all we want to do is just itch and be on his phone at home. We force each other to go out and just be together, me and him. We communicate a lot. I never used to like watching football at all. He likes it, so I started... Because I didn't want us to have very separate lives, or he likes doing his things, I like doing my things, and we have nothing in common. I joined his passion of football, for example, or in social media. Like, he has absolutely nothing to do with it, but he decided to be a part of this with me, because or else I'm living a life that he has nothing, no clue about. I ask him about everything. Do you like this photo or that photo? Do you think I should, like,
you just,
we're involved.
You in just sparked...
question.
not a question, a summary or a video I saw. Very interesting one. And I think I've talked about this often, that relationships are divided into three categories. All relationships in the world, we can split them or label them by one of these. Codependent, which is the most popular in the world. But it's kind of like this. So two people are relying on the other. You remove one,
it collapses.
Which is... I can't live without him. Yeah. He completes me.
Yeah.
All of this kind of talk. It's not healthy. They're always stuck into each other. Everything is together. Yeah, super glue. And then the second one is independent, which is healthier, but it's like you said, I don't want to live too independently of my husband, that he's in his planet completely
share.
And I'm in my own. Yeah. The third one, which is the healthy and rare one, which you just
describes
inspired, is the interdependent. Which is two independent individuals that choose to do things together.
Yeah, I think.
And I felt because you chose to watch football with him. He chose to be on social media. So it's kind of, and this is how the guy described it, like two dancers that are already great dancers, but when they dance together, they do something beautiful.
Great, yeah. I mean, I hope so. I don't think that it will. I'm not telling you that this is the way it's going to be forever. I hope it stays that way. But I'm very aware that a relationship, I always say, like, for me, marriage is like a muscle. If you don't, when I say work, I mean, if you don't work on it, if you don't use that muscle and you don't feed it and you don't give it what it needs, it's going to die.
Absolutely.
And this is the way I see marriage. And I care a lot about marriage. I always say, like, I can't even count the amount of times I've said this about how much I care about my marriage. It's only because, to me, I don't want to be, I don't want it to collapse or not to work because of lack of something that I've done, you know? So I want to make sure that I give it. Maybe if it goes wrong, I'm going to be very disappointed, but hopefully something that we're growing together. When me and him got married, we weren't the same people. I didn't even have social media then. I wasn't at all in the public eye. And today, my whole life is so different. We grew together. We didn't.
You have to.
We didn't.
I think it's a relationship, even a friendship or a work relationship or a marriage or a love relationship. It's kind of like a moving vehicle, right? And let's say both of you, you're not the same vehicle, by the way, because each of you are full individuals. You're complete individuals. But if you're not moving plus minus the same, at one point, at one point you won't even see them in your rear view. They're just gone. So unless you move together, which you just mentioned, then you can have sustainability, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
What about your kids?
I'm just so you know, before I got married, first of all, before I got married, I did not want to get married young at all. For me, it was people who get married before 30 are crazy and what are they thinking? And I was very happy at home. And I ended up getting married at 24. So
okay.
I didn't really like, you know, when you say like never say never, and same with kids. I was like, I don't want kids.
And
not
never
now.
Say
and, like,
always.
Yeah, also.
I prefer to avoid these two words. Yeah. You say, I'll always, and then you're like,
Yeah, no.
Okay.
So, with kids, I mean, with Georgie, we weren't trying. We were just like, let's, you know, it was almost like family, not family pressure, but like, shuyallah, when are you guys gonna, you know, so... And people were kept saying, like, it doesn't happen overnight, you know, like sometimes it takes more time. So we're like, you know what, imagine like it, you know, takes much. We were planning, let's say, in a year. I'm like, imagine it doesn't work or whatever. So it happened from the first like trial. So.
But how's your feeling of motherhood?
Yeah, but the reason I'm telling you this is because it leads up to the fact that 40 days after I gave birth to Georgie, I got pregnant with twins. So from coming from someone
wow.
saying that I didn't want
to get married or have kids maybe
like, yeah, all of a sudden by 28, I had three kids.
MashaAllah.
So, I mean, obviously they're the biggest blessing, but yeah, it was so tough. So
it
tough.
Is. And it's tough on your body, on your mentality.
And it's still so tough every day. It's tough, not because of like physically, of course it's tiring, but like I'm constantly feeling something and it's because of my kids. I'm either feeling guilty or feeling tired or feeling very happy, or it's like all the emotions are always very strong. And that's, I'm sure because I have kids, I'm feeling like when I'm doing something, I'm always feeling like my time is constrained and I could be sitting with my kids now, but instead I'm choosing to be on my phone. I feel guilty. Maybe if I didn't have kids, I'd be like, it's okay.
Do you think you're a hands-on mom?
Yeah, I hope I am. I think so. I give my kids a lot of my time. And not only time. I give them like I'm there. I'm present. I'm in my kids' lives. But I travel a lot. I feel guilty a lot.
You've used that word a lot throughout
guilty?
The interview, yeah.
Because I do. Because I mean, I try to be the best version of a mom that I can be, but it's the hardest job on earth because you never know. There's no manual and you don't know if what you're doing is right or wrong. And my job has a lot of traveling and it has a lot of time on my phone. So I feel guilty sometimes that I'm not...
Would you call it a job? Or
yeah.
You're just having fun?
No, I'm not having fun. I call it a job. Listen, for me, I'm leaving my kids to do this. I'm traveling. I'm leaving my husband. And yeah, I'm doing it for a job. I'm not doing this for fun.
Well, do you think, Karen, you're taking advantage of your kids and your husband, pushing them in this, in your content, in your pictures? Do you think it's you shouldn't make child celebrities of them or your husband, you said he doesn't like social media, but yalla, do social media with me.
I get them. I'm laughing because I get asked this a lot. No. I mean, that I don't feel guilty if that's what you...
I'm asking if you take advantage of them.
No, I don't believe I take advantage of them at all. The whole point of my social media from the start was to show my life. I'm not of a brand. I'm not a... I was never a fashion blogger. I was always... lifestyle. When I started my actual blog called Karen's Choice, it was literally me writing diaries about my life, about motherhood, about difficulties, about long distance. It was about everything. So I've always, my platform was always about my life. For me, if I wasn't going to show my kids, I would shut down my Instagram because today my kids are the biggest part of my life. If I'm not going to show them and I'm not going to show my husband, what am I, a model showing off my clothes? That's never what I wanted to be. But do I take advantage of them? I would never see it that way. I actually respect my kids. Sometimes my kids don't want to take a photo. They really, like, I'll try, and then they'll be like, no, and I don't do it. Sometimes I don't want them in the photo. I want to take a photo by myself. I want to take a photo of my husband, and they'll come, and I want to take a photo, mom, I want to take a photo. So I just really let them be. But it crosses my mind sometimes, just really not because of me, but because the way people, like, tell me, but what if one day Georgie wakes up and says, why did you do this to me, and why did you show me dancing, and da-da-da-da. So I think, I'm like, am I like seeing, are they seeing something that I'm not, you know? But again, going back to the seeing things positively, I'm hoping that Georgie and Carly and Kay will grow up to be like, thanks, mom. We were able to realize our dreams or our passion or whatever because you've spent so much time creating this platform for us. I hope that that will be the case and not the opposite. And then when my kids are a bit older, if they don't want social media, I don't care.
But we can say the opposite. We can say, Luch is an adult.
Yeah.
He can say, I don't want or I want. And if he says, yes, I want to be involved in your social media, it's a mature individual saying, I want to. The kids kind of don't have a really clear opinion or a fair opinion. It's kind of like you're putting them into the limelight. You're putting them into the spotlight. You're not afraid that now people will stop them, take a picture with them, make them child celebrities. They will become... attention-seeking individuals because...
Why are you saying this is a direct correlation? I don't see child celebrities. For me, the most important thing is that they have a stable home at home. For me, you can have kids that's a child celebrity with a broken family that's going to end up being messed up by the time he's 12. The same way you have child celebrities that live their lives normally like you and I because they have the basis and the proper foundation at home. I want to make sure before anything that my kids are growing up as kids. They're not missing out on anything in their childhood. I'm not taking them on tour and making them miss school. I want to make sure that they have a proper foundation, that they have a proper childhood, that my work is not taking away from them or from their lives. And to this point, I don't think I am. When my kids were newborns, I wasn't traveling. I was sitting at home with them, with my kids all the time. I started traveling and I started working more, if you want, when my kids were a bit more independent. I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't want to. It's a choice.
Absolutely.
It's nothing. There's nothing wrong with stay-at-home moms. But I didn't want to be that woman. So for me, it was a choice. When I saw that work started growing, I was like, okay, here is the time where I'm either going to say yes or no. And here's, I'm also making the decision. I chose today that, yeah, people tell me sometimes, yeah, but you have help. Of course you have help. Yeah, of course I have help. I have three kids and I travel. Of course I have help. But I'm choosing to make money and pay for help. I'm choosing this life. I'm choosing to work, and for me, it's more important for me to show my kids an image for me. Again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. For me to show an image to my kids of a working mom than a mom who's sitting with them all the time. This is personally to me because my mom has always been a working mom, divorced or not. She's always been working. So it's just something that I want to do, and it's a bit tiring to get judged all the time.
I can see from your body language it frustrates you.
Because people just think that when I'm with my kids at home, I'm with my kids at home. If I'm filming them or not, every mom around me when I see her is filming her child. Except she's not posting it on social media, but she's there with her phone filming. Everyone. My sister, Jessica, has twins. She's very not active on social media. I guarantee you that she films her kids more than I film my kids for sure.
But their argument, Karen, will be we film it for our own views and you film it for millions. That's their argument.
I've never seen myself as someone who's talking to an audience. I've always been doing what I would be doing if I was sitting alone in my room. If I'm filming my kids playing football, it's because my kids are playing football, not because I asked Georgie to dribble the ball or do. He's doing what he's doing. I'm not interfering in his life. He's just this person.
So would you say you are fairly genuine with your content? Whatever we see is Karen?
Whatever you see is me. There's other sides of me that you don't see.
Yeah, of course. You're not going to show you're down or really.
Yeah, because not only that, because when I'm, not because I don't want to show it, but because when I'm in those phases, when I'm arguing with my husband or when my kids are throwing tantrums, I don't have my phone there. I'm just attending to them. But if I had a 24-hour camera, I wouldn't mind if people saw that reality as well. But I can't do it. Like, what am I going to show you? People of, wait, Georgie, cry louder. Hey, your sister again.
But on the other, let's try to flip the other side of the spectrum. I'm sure you know that you bring also a lot of joy and happiness and cuteness, and somebody who might not have kids now is inspired. Somebody who might not have a good relationship.
If there weren't negative, if there wasn't negativity, I would think that what I'm doing is I'm spreading positive messages. I'm spreading positive messages about marriage. I'm spreading positive messages about spending time with family and the importance of family. I'm spreading the message of a working mom, independent, like being independent and strong. This is the way I would see it. And also having a good time. I mean, I'm pretty sure you sing and dance and do all these things at home. And you do.
I'm going to comment on that. I was in an interview, so we were the opposite. recently, and it was a very Emirati interview. And the guy commented on my videos of me dancing with my brother in the car. So I'm like, you think I'm stupid? You think I don't know that people are making fun or are remarking in any conservative society, not only here, in the Gulf especially? You think I don't know? You think I don't know people are commenting about my hair, about my chain, you think I don't know? But then this is me. And if we as Arab people stop picking so much on others And just chilling and focusing on ourselves, we'd live so much better. And I think I told him, what about you? Don't you dance in the car and listen to me? He's like, oh, ahiz. Yeah, I dance like crazy. I'm like, so what I'm conveying is what we all do. Yeah. I just put it online. Yeah. You didn't. So we all do that. So let's not try to act all fake and not true to what we all enjoy doing. So I think we need to calm down and really, like you said, really look at the joy that we can bring to people, you know? It's so easy to criticize, so easy. You can find 100 excuses.
Oh, trust me. I've created a folder actually on my phone called Mean, and I take a screenshot of all the like mean comments that I receive, and I put them in that folder.
And then?
Just, I don't know why I've done that.
I contemplated doing that. You know, sometimes you screen capture or somebody says something mean, and then I'm like, they don't get that. Mm. I'm not going to save it. I talk
to
myself about it.
You know why I did? Honestly, the reason I did is because I want people to, when you just see, let's say 90 positive comments and then two negative, you feel that the person behind the screen doesn't care. She's just going to look at the 90 positive and not look at the negative. But when you read one after the other, after the other, after the other, that's negative, 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 and it's all in one folder, it's louder. And I wanted to actually at some point maybe use this for a case on like online bullying.
Or,
I don't know. Like,
do you think you've been bullied online?
Yeah. Not bullied. Not I wouldn't say bullied, but like...
Like cyberbullying.
Exposed to a lot of negativity, yes.
Not only, I mean, from followers, but maybe fellow influencers, celebrities, I don't know, radio, media, I don't know, anybody.
Yeah.
How does it make you feel?
Sometimes I just want to tell people to like shut up, but I can't.
You just did.
No, because honestly, they're... Again, I don't expect everyone to love me. I don't expect everyone to approve of what I do. But just unfollow me if you don't like it. Just really, like, let everyone be. Like you said, like, everyone's just doing their own thing. I'm not butting into other people's businesses and work and life and telling them, this is how you should live, this is how you shouldn't do, this is what you should do. Why are people attacking? And then I get that there's this whole controversy with influencers. They're difficult to digest. And some people pool all influencers together and have an issue with them. Some people...
There's a negative stigma currently with the word. Because some people tainted it really bad.
For sure, I get it. But I mean, at the end of the day, you have a bunch of comedians. You have good comedians and you have shitty comedians. You have good actors and you have silly actors who would act for, you know, like
peanuts
for nothing. You know, this, and they don't all fall under the same category. At the end of the day, I'm working and I'm doing my thing, and my audience, I believe the majority of them at least, likes it, is happy with it. The brands I'm working with are happy with it. I do see this as a business. You asked me if I see this as a job. I definitely do see this as a job. I take it extremely seriously. I have deals with brands that I've been working with for a really long time, and their relationships are growing, and the brands that I'm working with are growing. So
what about the growing audience that you have? You've never ever bought?
No.
Engagement, followers.
So once, for example, one of the things I got attacked for once is my growth. Like, why is she growing so fast? She's buying. And they actually put they did like a whole series of posts and stories.
Like a campaign.
Yeah, literally like a digital campaign about the fact that I bought followers. And I'm just like, I really wanted to respond. Like, you don't understand. And I really wanted to be like, no. And I wanted to show my insights and to show my, you know, because something you've worked for so hard, someone comes and makes like a mockery out of it.
So,
or like,
yes,
you know, it's unfair.
Offensive.
And no, I've never bought, for me, of course, the number of followers is beautiful. It's nice. But to me, it's not about this. To me, if I don't have, I launched my eyewear brand. If those followers aren't going to, I'm working with brands. If those followers aren't going to trust me and going to believe what I sell and go and buy, then what's the point of me growing my following? What's the point of me having an audience that doesn't believe in me, that doesn't trust me? I don't want robots. I want people that are listening to me on the other side. And that's always been. And there are people with a lot more followers than me that brands haven't worked with. There are a lot of people with a lot less followers than me that brands have said, you know, we find her more relevant than you. So it's never been about, the numbers is just like a cool thing. But when it comes to working with brands, I don't think it's about the numbers. I think it's really about your content, if it's real, if it's relatable, if people are listening, are engaging, that's what it's about. And you should know this more than anyone.
I do, but I'm asking you.
No, and that's, it's frustrating because
I've worked very hard on mine also. I don't care about the size, but quality.
Yeah.
The quality of the audience is great.
People have sometimes an issue with me calling it that this isn't content. Because let's say I'm showing a video or, you know, something that they don't consider as content. But I want to tell these people, if you think it's that easy, they say like, what does she do all day, take photos? Do it. Do it.
Absolutely. I've used this word absolutely a lot.
So this is a good thing. As soon as I'm saying things that you agree with.
Yeah.
No, but it's not as easy as people think it is at all. Maybe it's our fault.
To be consistent is not easy.
Maybe it's our fault because maybe we're showing that it's easy, but it's not easy. I've cried so many times on so many trips on so many different times because it's a job, one that makes you feel insecure because you're constantly comparing yourself to others. You're comparing your numbers, your likes, your whatever it is. So you feel insecure. It's a job that you're in the public eye. People think they can give their opinion about you, whether they know you or whether they don't. And
Do you think you deserve where you are today?
Yes, I do. Because I've worked for it. I the only thing that I got lucky with, and it's not even lucky, is that I started at the right time. But I don't think that that's...
I don't believe in coincidence also, if that's where you're going.
No, because I want to tell you that that doesn't mean that people who start today don't have the chance to at all. But I started at the right time. I started almost when the whole wave of Instagram started. But also, it was a choice. It was a choice. I didn't know this ever was going to turn into a business. People were making fun of me all the time, making fun of my husband all the time. And I chose to listen, ignore, and continue doing what I'm doing because I believe that what I did had some purpose. And I never found it until like a year ago.
How old are you now?
32.
So Karen, the 32-year-old human being.
Yeah.
What would you feel is the word that describes you today?
It might seem like cheesy.
It's that one. It's the one that just popped in your head.
No, because it's too.
Don't overthink.
No. I want to say humble. But the reason I want to say humble is because And again, I don't want to have to justify, but the reason I want to say humble is because I really...
You're justifying, but it's okay. Go ahead.
It's because I really believe that I don't take what I have for granted. And I think that it's in the job that I have where people think that it's that I have it all or whatever. I don't ever look at myself as someone who has it all. I'm very like... I look at my life very like, I don't know how to explain it. But
I get it. You're not taking it for granted.
No, I'm like very grateful. Maybe grateful is the word.
Yeah, they work together.
Yeah. I'm very grateful for everything that I have. I don't take anything that I have for granted. And I don't believe that I'm better than anyone else. I'm just trying to be me. And that's what I want people to understand. Because some people think that I'm doing this for something or I'm doing this... I'm not. I'm just being me.
That's one of the hardest thing, is to be true to you.
Yeah, and that's what I try and do constantly, and that's why I analyze myself all the time. Do I feel that the image that I'm talking about today on Instagram, does it reflect who I truly am? And sometimes I feel like I might go a bit like off, and then I'm like, no, Karen, go back to who you are. And then it's constant, you know? But it's just part of analyzing yourself, and I do that a lot. When we were talking about people criticizing, another thing that I got criticized for is that I don't represent Arab women, yet brands in the Arab region are using me as representation. I want to say that I don't choose who I want to represent. I'm representing myself. And whoever wants to identify to me and feel that I represent them, it's their choice. I'm not trying to represent anybody.
Some people say, oh, Karen doesn't represent the Arab world. She's not a good example.
If I wasn't a good example of the Arab world, if I felt I wasn't a good representation, Arab girls follow me. They follow me for a reason. There is something about me, about who I am, that they feel they identify with.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be me as a full. They don't have to identify with the way I dress. But they can identify to me as a mother. They don't have to identify my relationship with my husband, but they could identify to the way I dress or where I travel, whatever it is. You don't have to identify to someone as a full. You can find things in a person. And also, I get criticized that I don't speak in Arabic, and that's not a good representation of an Arab woman. And they think I'm not proud. I get criticized a lot that you're not proud, you're ashamed, and that's why you speak in English. That's so false, because I'm so proud to be Arab. To me, being Arab goes way beyond a language. Being Arab is in the way I am as a mom and the way I am with people around me. It's in my way of life and my way of thinking. I'm Arab. I'm fully Arab. Both of my parents are Arab.
You know the funny thing, Karen? A few days ago, I think a week ago, I put out a video about languages, because some of the AB talks are in English, some are in Arabic. Depends on what the guest feels comfortable. And then we take the extra time to subtitle it, which is very annoying. But
I'm sorry if I'm going to make you do that in there.
My point is, why in the Arab world do we criticize each other when somebody knows more than one language? Why? Instead of saying, mashallah, Karen knows three languages. Good for her. We are like, ah, look at her. She's not proud. She's talking the other language. No, but if that's how you feel comfortable, doesn't matter.
Exactly. When I remember when I told you about being authentic, about being true to myself, Arabic is not my first language. Very unfortunately, I wish it was. But English is my first language. I was born in London. I lived in London and I went to an American school. So my first language is English. And if I want to be authentic on my page and speak my thoughts, my first language, my thinking language is in English.
Yeah.
It's not in Arabic and I'm trying to play it in English. It's in English. What do I do?
I know.
Like, I'm not going to change my past just because people think that I'm not a good representation of an Arab woman.
Like I said,
there are a lot of Arabs like me who speak in English, who speak in Arabic.
There are all types of Arabs.
Exactly. There's not one Arab woman. There isn't. There's a lot of different. That's the beauty, I think, of the Arab
diversity.
World. It's so diverse. And we should accept diversity and not think that because I don't dress a certain way or I don't speak a certain language or that I'm not Arab. I am Arab. What do I do with my roots? People just like to point out on things that they just...
Some people, but this will never disappear. And it's part of getting feedback and part of knowing that what you're doing is you'll never please everybody, and you keep at it.
I think that I've been on a great
run.
Growth internally, growth emotionally, growth even on my page. And I think there's something that I'm doing that is right, and I don't want
to
let anyone's noise or
it'll always be there.
Effect, yeah, like that.
You kind of built up and then you're like, I have to say this thing. I'm glad. But I really hope this was pleasant, comfortable.
Good.
You got to show your side of things that probably a lot of people don't see. But thank you.
Thank you.